Welcome to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. What you are about to hear may make you laugh, it may make you cry, it may make you shake in your boots. Two prison gods talking about strange things in the night they may never understand. And here are your hosts, Tom and Joe.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 5 of the Ghost Hacks Podcast.
Yep. 5. We're getting up there.
I'm Tom.
And Ghost Joe.
So today's episode, we're going to be talking about possession and exorcism, amongst a couple other things, too. But that's, I guess, going to be the primary focus on today's episode. The one thing I actually wanted to say before we get started, Tom, is I've been receiving countless emails, and by countless, I mean I haven't received any, about what ghost hacks actually means. And we haven't actually said that, and this is episode 5, and we actually haven't said what ghost hacks actually means. You're the one who came up with the name, so why don't you enlighten everybody?
Well, we're talking about ghosts and things we can't understand, and we're two hacks. We're two prison guards, lifelong prison guards.
What hacks actually means is a horse's ass carrying keys. That's what I know it to be.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm really derogatory because I am a horse's ass who carries keys. So
it takes guts, but it don't take too much book smarts to do what we do, you know.
Well, listen, Joe, we spent our entire lives staying out of jail. Now we go there for 8 hours a day. You know what I mean? That's not a smart guy.
So that's what ghost hacks actually means. Horse's ass carrying keys. In other countries, they might call us screws. And, you know, we actually use the term prison guard a lot with everybody out here because prison guard is like a general term that everybody knows.
They're calling a police officer a cop.
Well, we like to be called correction officer.
I don't give a shit what you call me.
Just as long as we get paid, right?
Yeah, as long as you're paying me on Wednesday, man.
So I guess we could get started in this whole possession thing and exorcism thing. Oh, also, at the end of the show, I'm going to be playing an EVP host of another podcast called Adventure On Everyone. He went to a haunted asylum called the Rolling Hill Asylum, actually in New York, and he caught some EVP and stuff on it. So I'm going to play that a little bit later on. But let's get into this possession and exorcism thing. So we had already spoken about how possession and exorcism, we do believe in it because, you know, me being Catholic and Tom being Catholic, that's pretty much what our faith tells us to believe in, basically. You know, that exorcism is real, that demonic possession could be real. So, you know, I guess we go along with it. But there are some serious, serious issues with some of the stuff that's been going on. And I'm going to touch on that here because it's not just all crazy, like head spinning stuff and all that. Like real people are actually getting hurt and killed. So if it sounds like I'm reading stuff, it's because I am. All right. The idea of evil spirits and demons invading someone's body is recognized in many religions, mainly in the Christian and Judaism belief.
Mazel tov!
There you go. The movie The Exorcist was written by William Blatty, who penned the book in 1971. He was inspired by a 1949 true Washington Post article about a Maryland boy who was exorcised. Of course, many of the details of the book and the movie, they were sensationalized. I mean, let's face it, you can't person's head can't spin around 360 degrees, regardless if you're demonically possessed or not. I mean, that's just impossible.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Exorcisms are still performed, mainly on people who are emotionally and mentally disturbed, because some people just don't understand. Some people are so far into their faith that I guess they fail to look at the medical aspect of it. You know, and at the same time, there's some people in the medical field that failed to look at the religious aspect as well.
Yeah.
But the word exorcism, derives from a Greek word named exousia, meaning oath. Just to show how prevalent the whole exorcism thing is, the Vatican first issued official guidelines on exorcism in 1614, and they were revised in 1999. So that really, I mean, it may sound like a long time ago for some of you young kids, but it's really not that long ago. In 2018, about 250 priests from 50 countries attended the Vatican's annual exorcism course.
Wait. Here comes the shenanigans, okay? We've both been hacks for a long time. We both go to in-service training multiple times a year. Where was the Vatican's annual training held?
I'm not sure.
It was, say it was in the Vatican?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah. So you've got a guy that is a parish priest in Podunk, Idaho.
Right.
He gets the invite to go to in-service training to exorcism at the Vatican in Italy. Yeah. I'm going to exercise everything.
Get a 3-hour meal and all that.
Suddenly them demons is real, Ghost Joe. He's flying over there. He's going, man, I got to sit in class for 2 hours. And then I'm going out and getting the best spaghetti going.
Well, I guess it's also, it's the same reason why they give us a training too. Like, listen, we train this guy to do it like this. Just because the kid's head fell off, it's not our fault. We didn't tell him to do that.
We never told him to do that. In fact, we told him the exact opposite.
That's terrible.
It's terrible. It's horrible. We're laughing at that. We are horrible human beings.
So, yeah, I can't stop laughing. I guess it's the alcohol. So, there are two forms of exorcism. There's major exorcism and there's minor exorcism. Minor exorcisms are prayers used to break influence of evil and sin in a person's life. And actually, from what I found out recently, is that that is actually part of baptismal prayer, which I kind of found a little interesting.
What?
That
they incorporate the baptismal prayer?
Right, with the minor exorcism. You know, like it's included in with the baptism, you know, because it's basically just trying to keep you away from evil. Basically, yeah.
The baptism supposedly washes away original sin, so I can see that. Yeah,
a major exorcism is the one that everybody's pretty much familiar with. You know, the power of Christ compels you, all that stuff. It's performed after a thorough investigation to conclude that these people are demonically possessed. Some of the symptoms.
All right, wait. Before you go into it, these are confirmed symptoms. This is what the church is looking for.
Yeah, actually, I had gotten this off of at least this part, I had gotten this off of some kind of religious site. So, yeah, that's
okay. All right, let's go. Let's hear it. Yeah.
All right. So, some of the symptoms are superhuman strength, which honestly, if we know mentally ill human beings, some of them do have superhuman strength. There's been times when a 110-pound kid five of us couldn't hold him down.
Yeah, listen, the worst ass kicking I ever took in my life was on the psych unit, on a female psych unit from 5.5-foot girl who just proceeded to not take her meds and proceeded to kick the crap out of me. And my friend Matt is listening right now and he's going, yeah, give him all the details.
It's for another show, Matt.
Yeah.
Show. So, aversion to holy water. That's another one. Not a virgin. Aversion to holy water.
But if anybody knows any virgins, please, you know, ghostjoe@gmail.
No, ghosthackspodcast@gmail.com or 845-379-1331. Okay, let's see. The ability to speak unknown languages, which honestly, a mentally ill person, I can't see them doing that unless they're speaking gibberish.
But that's the thing. 100 times I've heard mentally ill people just start speaking, quote unquote, speaking in tongues, but all they're doing is going blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Spitting, cursing, which, you know, I guess anybody would do that.
Every day on the psych unit. Yeah.
And the one that I'm most concerned about, because I've been doing this for a very, very long time. It's gotten worse over the last 10 years. And I'm actually kind of nervous when I read this. It definitely put some flags up for me. Excessive masturbation.
Yeah. It's a horrible thing. Get that wedding ring, suffering, masturbationing.
But see, what I'm curious about is, do I get demonically possessed because I'm excessively masturbating? Or am I demonically possessed because I'm excessively masturbating? That's what I really like to know.
The chicken and the egg. Actually, that started out as a joke there, but is the church's stance is because you're excessively masturbating, is that opening you up to the possibility of being more prone to be possessed?
Or is it a scare tactic from the church?
Oh, absolutely, that could.
Like, they're all about, no masturbation, no sex before marriage and all that stuff. You got to remember, too, these symptoms are from a very, very long time ago as well. Unfortunately, because of the unknown nature of the differences between mental illness and possession, many people have died due to people trying to exorcise the demons. In 2003, an 8-year-old autistic boy in Milwaukee was killed by church members performing an exorcism because they blamed his disability on demons.
Yeah, this is nice.
That's insane. In 2005, a young nun from Romania died at the hands of priests because they bound her to a cross, gagged her, and left her for days without food and water.
See, you told me you were going to have examples. I thought they were going to be from like the 20s and 30s. This is like the last 10 years, this crap.
Well, wait, this is the craziest one right here.
But wait, there's more.
Right. January 2020.
No, come on.
The bodies of 7 people were found in a mass grave in Panama, where members of a religious sect were said to have been performing exorcisms. 15 people were freed. The victims included a 32-year-old pregnant woman and 5 of her children, ages 1 to 11.
Bro, that's crazy. That's crazy.
That's January 2020.
That's crazy. I mean,
they did end up arresting 10 people on suspicion of murder. So this sort of thing is still happening. And that's insane.
Yeah.
I even think that this just happened this year.
Listen, man, we've both worked psych units. We've seen these people that have zero grasp on reality. And that's my standpoint on it. We know what we were taught growing up, but we're working psych units and these people aren't possessed. They're EDPs. You know what I mean, bro? Put them on lithium and even them out. They take their meds. They're all right.
It's very concerning that this stuff is still happening and that people are still, I guess you would say, well, uneducated in certain areas to not think it's anything else.
Yeah, that's
other than demonic possession.
That's really nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was insane, especially since it was just this year, and so many people had died just this year from that same thing. All right. On a lighthearted note, we're going to talk about Antrim, the deadliest movie ever made.
Okay.
So,
my bad is you told me about this setting up.
And you researched it and you didn't.
I didn't. I got back to work and I was banging out the overtime after my corona. So, sitting at home for 2 weeks with no overtime, bro, it was driving me crazy. So all I know is what's online about this. I didn't get a chance to watch anything.
So Antrim, it was made in 1979 originally. It was shot in English, but it is of Bulgarian descent. It was submitted in 1979, it was submitted to many different film festivals, all of which rejected it.
The 79, wasn't there another release of this where they redid it or was?
Yes. Well, that's what I'm going to get at. It's been released and then it disappears and then it comes back out again like years later.
Now, is it a remake, the one, or they keep re-releasing the 79 version?
I believe the most recent one is a remake with some of the real in it.
Okay.
Okay. So basically, soon after all these film festivals had rejected it, the festival directors had died of mysterious circumstances. I would probably have a murder investigation instead of...
Yeah, exactly.
Demon thing going on, but sorry. Several years go by, during which the film remains unseen. So everybody forgets about it. It's gone. It disappears. Until it mysteriously appears at a theater in Budapest in 1988. During the screening, a fire breaks out, burning the theater to the ground. Initially, it was believed that it was a faulty projector that caused the fire, but investigators had later determined that it was the audience members that set the fire themselves. So basically, what they're saying is that this film, what it's supposed to do is, while you're watching it, there's some kind of subliminal, demonic, you know, messages going on that bring a demon into the area, and it makes the people that are watching this film go crazy.
Okay.
That's the legend behind this film. I did not put this in the show notes, you know, where to find this, because I'm not going to be responsible just in case this thing is actually true. I don't want to be held responsible. Joe, you guys can go look it up yourself.
Joe, let me stop you for a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not true. Go ahead.
I don't know, man. I don't know. So let's see. So the film goes unseen again for many years. It's screened in a theater in California in 1993. Prior to the film, a concession stands worker doses the popcorn with LSD. The combination of the drug and the film results in a riot during which a pregnant woman is killed.
You know, it was almost funny up to that point. Guy putting LSD in the popcorn, yeah. That's the funny part, the killing a pregnant woman.
I mean, my thing is, the way that this is written, it says that they dosed the popcorn before the movie. So what, I think the dude must have just been, you know, he must have just been an asshole. It disappears from time to time, but it most recently popped up in 2018.
At the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival, right?
Is that where? I didn't know that. I didn't have that on here.
Yeah, I know it was shown for Halloween, I think. They did the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival in 2018. That's where I know it from. I didn't know it was a 70s movie.
You know, since I don't want to watch anyone, you know, since I don't want to put it out there for anybody to watch this, I figured, I took it upon myself, Tom, to put a poll up on our Ghost Hacks Podcast Facebook group.
Segway.
To see who would take one for the team, Tom or me?
Oh, it's not going to be Tom. It's not going to be Tom.
So let's see. I mean, I put it up a while ago. You could check it right now, Tom, to see.
Okay, hold on. Let's go to Facebook here. Who would take one for the team? Dude, there's one vote and you voted for me. You're a jerk. I'm not taking one for the team. Wait a minute. There's no way. The whole poll is, there's one answer. Tom. The fuck? Good for you. Yeah, go ahead. Get somebody else to co-host this shit after I get doused with LSD and fucking go so, chicken coop fucking chickens.
So in unrelated news, I'm going to be looking for a new co-host.
Completely unrelated news.
So, yeah, so that's the deadliest film ever made. Yeah, I'm going to call bullshit on that one, though.
Yeah.
You know, the circumstances are kind of crazy. And just the fact that, oh, yeah, well, we thought it was a film projector, but it turns out everybody else, you know, set the fires. No, it was probably the film projector.
Great marketing, though. Yeah, watch this and somebody's going to go crazy and kill somebody.
This call is from Chris Wiedemann, who is a co-host of Adventure On Everyone. It's a tabletop online gaming podcast. He's actually been following us since episode one, actually, Tom.
God.
Yeah. So,
all right, Chris, listen, I'm sorry about the first one, but the other four, that's all on you. All right. We're still Zoom podcasting because I had the corona. And thankfully gotten over that. But just to be on the safe side, because we both got little kids, we're trying our hand at Zoom podcast. And it sucks. It sucks. I can't imagine the kids that are going to school like this.
Right. Yeah, no, it's terrible.
Although I would Zoom Prison Guard. That would be cool. I would do that in a heartbeat.
So let me just give you a little bit of history on this. So he had visited the Rolling Hills Asylum, which is in, Chris Weeder from Adventure On Everyone podcast. And thanks again, Chris, because he had called up our hotline at 845-379-1331.
Segway.
Oh, yeah. And he had left us this this cool voicemail and provided us with an EVP, which was like a bonus for me. So that's awesome that he did that for us. And you're going to hear it all. So that's pretty cool. But he had visited the Rolling Hills Asylum in East Bethany, New York. It's about 5.5 hours from us, Tom. And from what it says here, it's a pretty haunted place. And they know it because they have public ghost hunts, private ghost hunts, guided tours, classic horror movie night, and all sorts of stuff.
It's an industry, though, Joe. It's an industry, and that's what we talked about.
It's true. It's true. But what it says here is that it was established in 1827. The Genesee County Poorhouse, it was an originally working farm, soon became a refuge for some of society's less fortunate. Widows and orphans mingled with mentally ill, and the unclaimed dead were buried on the property. With over 1,700 documented deaths and hundreds not recorded, it is no wonder that it's one of the most haunted places in the United States. You know, when reading that, though, it kind of sounds like the plot to Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Listen, I don't know if it's haunted or not, but I do know that that's up that area is where Jenny Cream Ale comes from. So, you know, they get a thumbs up already just for being in that area from me.
Let's play Chris's recording here.
My name is Chris Wiedemann. I help produce and am part of the podcast Adventure on Everyone, tabletop gaming podcast. However, I was calling about an EVP that we got from Rolling Hills Asylum roughly 5 years ago. So I went with three of my friends. This is the second time I'd been to the place. They are... The room specific that we were in, it contains supposedly the spirit of the nurse who used to work for the building while it was an asylum. Over the course of time, it's taken a variety of different forms, but most of the paranormal phenomena that are supposed to occur are directly from the years it was an asylum. In the tour, they'd explained that she had been a German immigrant, and I think primarily worked exclusively for Rolling Hills. And so the three of us are in the room, and while we're sitting around and talking, we each have our own flashlights doing the flashlight trick, you know, flick on once, yes, twice, no, you know, things like that. And over the course of time, as we were asking questions, my flashlight starts going off in response to the questions. While we're going, it's important to note that my flashlight was the only one doing this. We did a variety of tests. You know, we shook the flashlights. We hit them. We tapped them against the floors, the walls, you know, whatever we could do to try and trigger them. And it didn't seem to be setting anything off. So we continued to ask questions. We were in the room for about a little under 13 minutes. And, you know, we toured the rest of the place. We made sure we were capturing group noises, each of our own individual voices, so we could compare and contrast later on. Well, the night finishes up and we're leaving, and we have 5 or 6 separate recordings we're listening to. So we decide on the drive home to quickly throw in an aux cord and start listening to the recordings. Now, the reason I noted that it was important to realize that my flashlight was the only one that was reacting to anything is my phone was the first one that we decided to play off of. And in that 12-minute recording in the nurse's room, we're flying down a road going like about 55 when, My friend just starts yelling and like nearly crashes the car into a ditch, and we pull over to the side of the road and we listen back to the track, and out of nowhere, a voice we didn't recognize pops up, and we listened to it probably 50 times. I sent it to different people and they couldn't find on the waveform where we hided the voice. It seemed like there's no reaction in the waveform itself.
So guys, it looks like we're learning something new every day. With the Google Voice message, it only records up to 3 minutes. So if your story is longer than that, which most likely it will be, please call back and continue your story so we can include the entire thing. Chris's story was basically over, so I didn't feel the need for him to call back. The whole clip that he had sent me was a 12-minute clip, but I edited it down to just the EVP for time constraints. So after you hear his friend say, "Do you like being German?" that's when you should definitely pay attention.
I've been here once before, and I heard that the patient next to us wasn't one of the better patients, that he was kind of hostile. Did you have any problems with him?
Did you enjoy being German in a country that might thought poorly of immigrants? Did you enjoy being German in a country that might thought poorly of immigrants?
So, Tom, what'd you think of that?
You know, I don't know Chris specifically after you told me about the EVP coming. I didn't go on his podcast because I didn't want to have any preconceived notions, good or bad. And I listened to everything you sent me, the whole EVP, which was quite long. There was nothing else on it except for that. I would have loved to have seen a video with it, just to make sure that there was no females there, just to sync up a video.
Well, yeah, no, he had actually said that it was him, his friend, and a female friend. But he had said that he had specifically made the video, well, he had made the audio long, and he had sent us the full length so we would be able to hear her voice and everybody else's voice so we could, you know, compare and contrast between the EVP.
Well, yeah. Look, on its face, that's something that deserves more investigation. Two things that give me pause on it is, the first one, they're in a place where it's industry. Well, they've turned that into an industry. So you're going in there being a true believer, whether you like it or not. Also, I found the question a little odd. Did you like being German?
The voice actually answered in the middle of his question, because he had said, do you like being German in a society that... It was a longer question, and the answer had answered in the middle of it. I don't believe there's anything funny with what Chris sent us and his friends. I feel like if it's going to be fake, which honestly, if you listen to other EVPs that are similar, even on our second episode, when we played that EVP and it said "Get Out," it was a very similar tone, very similar kind of graininess to the voice. And I'll tell you the weirdest thing, and he had said it in his intro there, is that whenever we edit stuff and we put our sound on anything, even just the littlest breath or the littlest cough or sneeze or whatever, it comes up as a waveform. It comes up as like a little blip. And when that voice says that, I'm just going to say it, yes. When that voice says that, yes, it's completely flat. There's no waveform at all.
Right.
Kind of strange to me, you know, because even if you tried to do all this sort of stuff with it, just because it's a sound and I'm putting it into my software, it would have come up as a waveform, and it doesn't. Like, it's completely flat.
That's true. I mean, last episode, I was so hungry, my stomach was coming over the microphone.
Yeah, exactly. And that's probably going to show up as a waveform. That's and that's the craziest part, because it was completely flat. There was nothing, you know. And like I said, if it was something funny, I would think it would come from the place, because like you said, it's an industry place.
That's what they're going for. They want people to have experiences. They want people to find stuff because they want people coming back and they want people telling other people to go there.
Right.
But I seriously, you know, I talked to this guy, Chris, and I listened to his podcast. I mean, I don't know anything about Dungeons and Dragons or any kind of tabletop gaming or anything like that, but I did listen to the whole podcast and his, I think he has a few hosts and they're like us, Tom, you know, like they're just like, they don't give a crap. They curse. They say whatever the hell they want to say. They're real people. So I definitely believe Chris and his experience there.
I definitely want to hear more from that area. If anybody has anything, they could steer us toward it. I'd love to hear it.
If you have anything at all that you would like to share with us, any kind of stories, if you have EVPs like that or anything similar to that, or just to tell us any kind of comments, questions, whatever, you could call our hotline at 845-379-1331.
Segway.
Or you could email us at joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com. You could also find us on TikTok, Ghost Hacks Podcast, and you could find us on our Facebook group. So definitely check that out as well.
Is that what you did on TikTok? It's Ghost Hacks Podcast?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you've been doing some funny stuff. I like it.
Yeah. So challenging Joe Rogan, you don't think that? I didn't challenge Joe Rogan to a fight, okay? I challenged him to a podcast off. I'm not even sure what a podcast off is.
Man.
But I did.
We are so not even on the Joe Rogan radar.
That still stands, Joe Rogan. If you're listening,
I am to
a podcast off, whatever that is.
I am not co-signing this at all. That man could kick our ass physically and podcastically. Hey, Joe, you want to take a run over? But that's about all it is.
So, all right. So I guess that's the end of episode 5, the Ghost Hacks Podcast.
Episode 5. Wow.
That's a milestone for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, thank you for everybody that not only gave us a chance, but keeps listening. It really helps us move on to the next episodes.
Absolutely. Also, another thing too, is that if you want us to cover a certain thing, paranormal wise, or even some kind of like weird unexplained type thing, you know, we'll try our best to do that as well. On some future episodes, I'd like to cover stuff like the lost city of Atlantis and other things of that nature. I'd really like to cover dreams and the effect on the human mind as far as dreams and lucid dreaming and stuff like that. So I definitely delve into some other cool stuff. And I hope everybody keeps listening. And that looks like it's the end for us for tonight.
That's a wrap tonight. Good night.
Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and find us on Facebook groups. If you have any paranormal experiences you would like to share, please email joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com. And we may even read your submission on the air. Have a good night, and don't forget to change your shorts.